Dr. Pinsky with a mail, IMA on Russell Carter, C-A-R-D-E-R. Russell Carter is a 64-year-old male who currently relates in approximately April 2019. He was injured at work while working on a sewing machine, but he believes he is from waist to his feet, had numbness. Apparently there was no specific instigating trauma. He did not go to the emergency room afterwards. Further evaluation led to a diagnosis of spinal cord compression. He underwent surgery for this by Dr. Marcotte, M-A-R-C-O-T-T-E, on two occasions. He's no longer receiving any active treatment. The rest of that section is normal. New paragraph, as per his amended claim petition, Mr. Carter alleged from 1-1-19 through the present repetitive job duties caused permanent injuries to the cervical and lumbar spine as well as post-operative cardiac injury. New paragraph, as per the records supplied, he was seen by Dr. Marcotte on 6-18-19. On this occasion, there was a telephone conversation between the petitioner and Dr. Marcotte's staff. He agreed to have surgery on 7-2-19. However, on 6-21-19, they informed the petitioner they received a call from the insurance company that they were denying his surgery. A telephone interaction on 7-5-19 documented his pain is being managed with medication. They also discussed over-the-counter stool softeners. He had additional telephonic interactions. On 7-16-19, he presented for staple removal status posterior cervical laminectomy at C3-7 with Dr. Marcotte on 7-2-19. On 8-5-19, he was about 4 weeks post-cervical laminectomy for stenosis. He had improvement of his arm symptoms, but still had some residual tingling in his legs that was also improving. He continues to have lower back and hip pain. Dr. Marcotte reviewed his MRI again. He has advanced disc disease from L3-4 through L5-S1. Spondylolisthesis at L5-S1, and stenosis at L3-4 and L4-5. He wrote the petitioner had preliminary improvement of his symptoms with the intervention. A component of his back symptoms are coming from L5-S1 and possibly the supra-adjacent levels. Definitive surgical treatment for his lumbar spine symptoms would involve the multi-level laminectomy and fusion at L5-S1. And follow up on 8-5-19, Mr. Carter related his gait has greatly improved and his numbness and tingling is less severe in his legs. He felt ready to return to work. He continues to have left hip and bilateral low back pain. However, he reported he was not yet ready to pursue surgical intervention. He is weaning from his gabapentin. New paragraph on 10-7-19, he denied any neck pain but had residual paresthesias in his calves and feet. His proximal leg numbness has improved since the laminectomy 3 months ago. He has intermittent left leg and back pain and remained on Neurontin. The MRI was again reviewed and was a limited study. He had spondylolisthesis and stenosis at L5-S1 with some degree of stenosis at L3-4 and L4-5. They again discussed treatment options, including continued conservative care or with definitive surgery involving a decompression fusion at L5-S1, semicolon. He may benefit from a laminectomy at L3-4 and L4-5. Paired, Mr. Carter wanted to proceed with more aggressive non-operative treatment. Brady was then referred to pain management for injection. Period. He was reassessed by telemedicine on 8/23/21. Brady was status post-cervical laminectomy for stenosis and had significant improvement of his preoperative arm symptoms. Brady remained symptomatic about the lower back and had a vague sense of weakness in his legs. Period. His lumbar MRI was reviewed and showed advanced disc disease at multiple levels with stenosis at L3-4 and L4-5 with facet hypertrophy and bulging disc. Brady had also had a spinal listhesis at L5-S1. Period. At that juncture, Mr. Carter was agreeable to pursuing surgery on the lumbar spine. Period. He had a preoperative history and physical evaluation on 9/20/21 by nurse practitioner Kunda, K-U-N-D-A. Period. He had agreed to proceed with L3-S1 lumbar laminectomy and L5-S1 posterior lumbar interbody fusion. Period. Past medical history was remarkable for coronary artery disease, COPD, bladder cancer, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, smoking, and arthritis. Period. He had undergone a variety of surgeries. Period. On 6/15/21, he had an angioaortogram with vascular artography of the abdomen. Period. That same day, he had an angiogram of both lower extremities. Period. He had a history of PTCA. Laminectomy in the cervical spine was done on 7/2/19. Period. On 6/15/21, he had PR revascularized iliac artery angioplasty / stent of the first vessel. Period. On 2/16, he had removal of a total bladder. Period. He had a surgical stent placed also. Period. On 6/15/21. Ultrasound-guided vascular access was conducted. Period. He was on albuterol, amlodipine, aspirin, gabapentin, metoprolol, rosuvastatin, temazepam, Trelegy, Ellipta. Period. He was a 1/2 pack per day smoker for 45 years and drank 1.8 to 2.5 ounces of alcohol per week. Period. This was done several times per week. Period. He had risk stratification by primary care or cardiology. Period. He followed up with Dr. Marcotte on 9/20/21, but had not yet undergone his low back surgery. Period. He had an iliac stent on the left, which did not affect his back or leg symptoms. Period. Straight leg raise maneuver was negative. Period. He had hyperreactive reflexes in the arms and legs. Period. Physical exam. General appearance, he had a tremor of the left hand that he states was secondary to his spinal problems. Period. Heart normal, lungs normal, extremities upper. Inspection revealed bruises bilaterally, but skin was otherwise normal in color, turgor, and temperature. The rest of that is normal. Extremities lower. deep tendon patella reflexes are 4+ bilaterally, but 2+ at the Achilles. Predated globally diminished pinprick sensation, sparing only the medial left foot. Paired manual muscle testing was 4/5 for bilateral plantar flexor strength, but was otherwise 5/5. The rest of that is normal. Spine cervical inspection revealed a forward held posture and posterior longitudinal scar measuring 3.5 inches in length. Paired active flexion was 25 degrees, comma extension 50 degrees, comma rotation right 70 degrees and left 60 degrees with side bending right 20 degrees and left 15 degrees. He had tenderness to palpation about the right paravertebral and trapezius musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the left or in the midline. The rest of that is normal. Thoracic normal, lumbosacral. He was able to stand on his heels and toes. Pretty changed position slowly. He was able to squat to 65 degrees and rise. Pretty special, a decreased laudatic curve, and a midline 5-inch longitudinal scar consistent with his surgery. Pretty active flexion was 40 degrees, comma extension 15 degrees, comma, and left side bending 15 degrees. Paired right side bending and bilateral rotation were accomplished fully without discomfort. Paired was tender at the sacroiliac joints bilaterally as well as the left sciatic notch and iliac crest, but not the right. Paired there was no tenderness at the remaining areas to be inserted. Paired supine straight leg raise maneuver on the right at 30 degrees and left at 55 degrees elicited low back tenderness without radicular complaints. Paired impressions. Professor Carter alleges working on a sewing machine in an occupational fashion caused permanent injuries to the cervical lumbar spine and postoperative cardiac injury. Perry started working for the insured part-time in 1985 and then full-time in 1988. He indicates his job was plant manager, comma, mechanic, comma, and boiler operator. He did not explain what his job duties entailed. He is currently receiving Social Security disability income. He did not convey whether he sustained any other injuries. He does suffer from COPD and had bladder cancer surgery in 2016. He continues to receive medications for high blood pressure and nerve damage, New paragraph, he did specify verbally that his position required him to be seated and reaching over a machine to turn the wheel for 4 hours. There was only minor resistance from turning this wheel. He then experienced numbness from the waist down. He had bowel and bladder changes at first. These improved with his second surgery in the lumbar spine. He states the day after this he sustained a myocardial infarction and underwent coronary artery bypass grafting times two. The cervical spine surgery helped his neck pain. New paragraph, the current exam of Mr. Carter found there to be decreased range of motion with the cervical lumbar spine with associated healed surgical incisions. There was no weakness, atrophy, or sensory deficit in either the upper or lower extremities, except for mild plantar flexor weakness. Bilaterally, he had diminished pinprick sensation throughout the entire left lower extremity, sparing only the medial foot. He was hyperreflexic at the patella bilaterally. Evaluation of his heart and lungs was unremarkable. New paragraph, there is 10% permanent partial disability referable to the cervical spine and 10% permanent partial total disability referable to the lumbar spine. These are offered regardless of cause. His job task at the insured, even over many years, would not explain the abnormalities detected in his spine nor associated symptoms. These abnormalities correlate with his age and smoking history. But in fact, he had already been diagnosed with COPD, which is a result of tobacco abuse. Period. He had also undergone angioplasty for unrelated cardiovascular issues. Period. And that is the end.